What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
All right.
I'm so strong.
Oh, my God.
Struggle with that.
No, I'm just, I do it gently because I'm worried I'm going to, like, in the face, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you would
want
to.
And I save that for my downtime, you know what I mean?
Oh, yep.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy, Eddie Rockefeller.
Are we already recording?
Yes.
Yeah, I started off with a cum joke. Fuck yeah. Let's do this.
You're in the right place. This is a safe space for cum jokes.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Make as many as you want.
Well, it's not a safe space for women coming, but fine. No.
Yeah.
Women don't come.
Not for you.
That's a myth. Oh, fuck, I'm tired. Been up up early.
Yeah.
Yes.
Busy boys.
I went to bed late, so.
Did you?
Yeah, vice versa. Well, why were you up early?
Well, we're doing a filming for the one of the skits.
Oh, just a subtle drop. Oh, I was filming stuff.
I wasn't filming.
You were?
No, I was wearing a suit looking like a dick.
Yeah,
I will admit that I walked in, I'm like, everyone is well-dressed. What's happening? This can't be comedy.
Yeah.
This is clearly not.
Mitch is in a suit. He's dressed for divorce court.
Yeah, that I do see.
Bit of foreshadowing.
You like the relationship psychic?
I've met you, so. Yeah.
Like, I know
a divorce is in your future.
Yeah.
It's like the second I met you, I'm like, this guy's going to be divorced one day.
That's all right.
He's not even married. Yeah, one day.
My lovely wife's over in the corner there.
Yeah. And she's nodding along.
Planning her escape.
She's like, the paperwork's in the mail.
No. Yeah. Slowly siphoning off our savings to an offshore account.
Because she's a smart woman.
Yeah. She controls the finances.
Yeah.
What did you get up to last night?
Me? I had a show at the Stag.
Yep.
So comedy and music. And it was sick. It went off. It was great.
Oh, you were doing musical comedy?
No. Well, some. It's like it's one of those mixed shows where it's like there's actual real music happening.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but there's also like we did do a comedy song, and then we do a lot of banter in between the songs as well.
Yeah.
So it ends up being like a comedy and music show. So not musical comedy necessarily, but we do one of those.
Just doing funny shit in between.
Makes sense.
Riffing in between the songs.
Yeah, well, so what we've done is we take covers and we reimagine them. So we like write extra bits for them, or we change the way that the structure is. And we took this song called Begging, and we do a song about my terrible taste in men. Yeah, we do a song about that and some of the experiences I've had. So some
of it is.
What do you
mean, terrible taste in men, Eddie?
I mean, I thought that was very self-evident. I feel like it's
well,
like 50%
new
of what I do on stage is me talking about how I have terrible taste in men. So I was like, surely you've gotten it by now.
Well, we might have some new listeners. You never know.
Oh no. Okay. So. I just date a lot of drug addicts and a lot of people who've been to jail and unemployed, people who live with their parents and DJs. And that's what I do with my life.
Yep.
They're all in the same group of people.
Yeah.
Really.
Losers. Sorry. No, it's like I do feel like I've recovered a lot from that recently, though. Like that was, I think that
dating
is
losers
becoming a thing of my past. It's because now I am occasionally, and I use the word occasionally very strongly, I am now occasionally attracted to nice men, which I'm very happy about. Yeah. Yes. My mate Nathan is in the back and he's like, it's me, isn't it?
What's a nice person you've been attracted to?
Oh, well, someone,
with all
I guess
teeth.
Somebody who treats me well, I guess is what I'm saying. Someone who's not a fucking arsehole. Oh, my God. Occasionally I meet men with jobs now, so that's nice. That's nice. I think that's just an age thing, though. I think I've hit my 30s, so I'm now like the eligible men around me. You know, I'm more likely to have jobs now. I think the unemployment thing was more an issue of my 20s, where you like, you know, there's so many people in their 20s are figuring their shit out.
If they're unemployed in their 30s, you're like, oh, this person really is a loser.
Oh my God. All right. How's that? How's that job hunting going?
Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, not great. I still don't have a job. But making it work.
Yeah.
It's going well.
Yeah.
There's that thing that they say, like, if you're in your younger, like, you should date yourself. Have you heard that advice before?
Yeah, yeah. Well...
But then you'd still be dating a loser, so...
Yeah, but I'm into that, remember? So yeah. It's fine. I've been dating myself for years. Yeah. I'm a terrible lay.
You've got to get out of that long-term relationship.
Yeah.
With yourself.
No, I like... Oh, man. Here's the thing. I really like my own company.
We could tell.
Yeah. I just have chats to myself and all the voices in my head, you know. Yeah, we just talk a lot. And I think I took like a – because like the bad taste in men thing was a real issue for me for a while. So I did things to try and reset my psyche, if that makes sense, and to a measure of success. And I think half of it was just me – it wasn't even technically me having bad taste in men. It was kind of just more as it's, you know how you do that thing where you project the thing out and then you're like, oh, it's actually just me having like low self-esteem or just not being prepared to ask for what I want. So I end up with somebody who's not right for me. You know what I mean?
So what you're saying is you were the issue all along.
I was.
No, just your choices because
I think it's more the choices.
It's not you,
mine.
It's just what you
Yeah,
attract.
It's definitely them, but it was my choice of them, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Just like, you're like, all right, no worries, I don't need to date deadbeats anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like more just like accepting, you know when someone treats you badly but then you let it happen?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds bad because it's like obviously not victim blaming or anything like that. But like, you know, when someone treats you badly, you have the option to either call them out on it or just be like, and they just like brush it under the rug. And I've always had a habit of brushing it under the rug.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting better now at being more direct and being like, actually, this upsets me.
Yeah.
And it just means it's coming to better conversations and it's being more authentic in yourself as well. That helps that, you know.
I have that issue too, but it's in a different way.
Like, oh, yeah? Yeah? In a different way? How so?
Well, I'm Jewish. I like to save money. So I'll, like, go to the grocery stores and I'll be like, oh, I'd like this nice thing that's, like, in the middle shelf, but, like, nah, I'll take the cheap one because that's what I deserve. You know what I mean?
I love that I went through... I went through a whole thing about my personal psyche and my self-worth, and you're like, groceries. Oh, sometimes I pick the cheaper one.
That's what it is. You're picking the shitty option because your self-worth's not high enough. You're like, I don't deserve better. I'm going to take the...
He got the $2 soy sauce instead of the $4.50 soy sauce.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I'm so like, glad that you can relate with me.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah, it's definitely the same thing. I've never felt so seen.
Just remember that next time you're grocery shopping, Eddie, don't pick out the shit fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just like, if you keep buying that crap fruit and then you're just like, oh, I'm the problem. No, it's the fruit. The fruit is bad.
It's like the fruit is bad, but sometimes you just got to be willing to ask for more. I think that's more the thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's okay to ask for more. It's okay to want more.
Mm. Or if your food comes out, you order at a restaurant, it comes out, it's bad, you can be like, no, this is not good enough for me.
Yes, could
Take
you
it
fix
back.
This? Without being an arsehole, but like, yeah, it's kind of that concept of being okay with like, I think some people get too obsessed with always doing the kind of like, oh, we've just got to keep on keeping on. We've just got to, like if we're uncomfortable about something, we'll just ignore it. Like, and I grew up in a family that's very avoidant like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard to switch your behaviour into actually, like, you don't have to be an asshole about it, but you can be, and push back and give a resistance
when
it's
necessary.
Yeah, I
grew up in a family where my dad was an asshole about it.
You've tried to go the other way?
No.
No?
No, I'm still an asshole about it.
Oh, okay.
Like, if something bothers me, I'll fucking let you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty straightforward about that. I think that's how, like, good relationships work when you can just be honest with people and be like, no, this is the fucking problem and it needs to be fixed, otherwise we're fucked.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
and I think sometimes I can find that part of a relationship really easily, and then other times it's harder to find. That's something I've been working on in myself recently, is about like trying to be more upfront when I'm not okay with something.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah.
But
we had that the other day. We were at the one of the Japanese restaurants in Newcastle, and they took like an hour to bring our food out. And I was just like, oh, that was right. That was before it was the like Macquarie gig that you ran.
Oh, yes. Oh, we were all fucking stressing. Where's the MC?
Yeah. I was waiting for my
start without him.
I was waiting for my pork. It took forever to bring it out. And then I was just like shoveling it down my head. And then George was like, we're not paying for that. And I was like, I'm just eating. And she's like, gets the waitress over. We're not paying for this. Like, it's been an hour before it came out. We wanted to all eat together for my birthday. And you've fucked it up.
Yeah.
Because their system didn't put it through or some shit. And then she came back over and she's like, oh, we can give you like a free drink. Or And she's like, no, I'm not fucking paying for it. Dug her heels in. And yeah. I was like, all right, sweet.
Whereas like free I hear pork. That and I'm like, yeah, that sounds warranted to me. But the idea of having to be the one to be like, we're not paying for this, like it gives me nausea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
I've done it before. I don't like to do it, but I've got it in me definitely. Because,
To be honest, with shit like that, I don't care, though. I'm not that stressed. I actually don't mind when I go to a cafe and they have terrible customer service because I'm usually there to do work or to write
or something.
I'm going to be there for 2 hours. Please be late with the service I can stay longer and not feel guilty about taking up a table,
We, they came up to our table like, oh, you've got a booking for tonight. It's 2 hours maximum because we need you out because we've got other people coming. And it's like, you didn't say that when we booked the table. Mm. So you're trying to rush us out. But also you fucked up and took like an extra hour to bring my food out after the girls had already eaten. I was like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
You can't be rushing us out and being like, oh, sorry, we're late. You're just going to have to be patient.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely reasonable to be like, this should be.
Yeah, they fucked it. So,
Wouldn't have happened at Menya Makoto. Just saying.
And that was the place. And no. I feel like we shouldn't name drop businesses and be like, these are the shit ones. No.
Go there if you want good ramen. But no, it was it's a good restaurant. It's in Honeysuckle. You can put two and two together.
Yeah,
but
it would have been a mistake.
Actually, they did everything right. Like, they wiped it up. They didn't charge us for it. And they were like, we're very sorry. We hope you come back. And it's great food there. So I'll go back.
Oh, well, that's a good business then. Yeah. And see, I don't mind when people make mistakes. It's when they don't own their mistakes that it gets frustrating.
So no shitty Google review for them.
Yeah. Then again, sometimes I'm terrible at owning my own mistakes as well because, you know, it gets...
Well, that's because you don't make any.
Ah, exactly. It's good to be seen.
the Macquarie gig went pretty good. That was a lot of fun emceeing that.
I was really happy with that. Yeah.
All things considered. With like 12 people in the crowd.
There was more than that, I counted. There was 25 at one point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. With comics and everyone else.
Yeah.
Like total.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember whether I counted the comics. I probably counted the comics. Their bodies in the room. Yeah, fuck it, they count. The
They're all buying drinks. Yeah. That's really all they want.
And they all came before the show. They all had dinner. Yeah. They all came and bought drinks during the show. And then, because we went and had a drink downstairs, they all stayed behind and drank more drinks. Yeah. So it actually worked out great for the business, and that's what they were hoping to get out of it.
First show, and you did the smart thing of telling them, like, no, you're marketing this.
Yeah.
You're a fucking RSL. Like, you've got so much more, like, potential reach and, like, money available to market this show.
Well, I just don't have the emotional capacity to be marketing shows right now, to be honest. That's the reason I did it. I was just like, I can't handle the stress and anxiety of having to handle that part of it. I can book the show, I can run the show, I can perform in the show. But, I mean, anybody who's run a show knows the anxiety of, like, counting tickets and do we have enough people there? Have I put enough? How much should I put into the budget for the marketing and this and that? And it just gets it gets to be a lot. So when they hit me up to do the show, I was like, yep, let's do it, but you guys handle that part.
Yeah.
And they were all too happy to do that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
It was a good call too as well. Like, it was ticketed at first and then they went, no, we're not selling enough tickets. Let's make it a free show, refund the people who've already paid and just have them in there.
Yeah, and the people who paid for the tickets still came to the show.
Exactly.
Brought more people, so it was great. Yeah, I really, oh, man, it's hard to get such a great vibe in a room with low numbers of an audience.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the vibe in that room was great.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was great. Yeah.
You're welcome.
no, seriously, you did a great job. I was just, all the feedback I got was incredibly positive. I think the biggest thing I heard was just, oh, we didn't see it around a lot in the marketing. So I've given that feedback to the club and they're, if they do another one, which he's going to go talk to his manager first, but like if they do another one, they're going to push it a lot more.
Yeah.
Because it has potential.
And if they spend a bit of money on it to push it a bit more, then they'll get more return.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the scary thing is like, And it was the same with this Show Us Your Bits Weird Wednesday show that we did. Because I was going through the same thing, like how many tickets have we sold, like as everyone does when they book a show. Mm. And he's like, fuck, how much money am I going to spend on this? And like, how much am I going to see back? But you can't just look at it at a show-to-show thing. You got to look at it as like a, I'm going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah.
And if I invest some money in it early and let people know that it's on, then that's going to snowball and then people will keep coming back and then I'll have to spend less on advertising because people know that it's on these
word
days.
Of mouth, yeah.
Word of mouth gets around and they go, all right, they put on a good show there. But it's, yeah, it's that risk of like investing the money initially and being like, fuck, can we get this going? So for the next couple of shows, I'll still put some more money towards like ads and stuff like that and then eventually bring it back a bit once you're getting people in there.
I think you always will still need to spend some money on advertising anyway, though, because even the people who have seen the show and enjoyed the show need to be able to see it and go, oh, that's on again.
Yeah, but once you have those people that have booked tickets before, you get their emails and stuff like that, you can send out just like emails and you can spend less eventually once people know that's on. You still got to do the marketing and spend a little bit on it and let people know that it's on, obviously. But I think to begin with, you could spend a lot more, like especially a place like that that's got a massive budget because they're like a fucking RSL. Like it would be very smart of them to like put some serious money behind it.
I agree. If they put serious money behind it, that room would be epic because
you'd sell it out.
You would really
sell it out every time. There's nowhere else out in that area that's doing comedy. You can like you had people coming from like Toronto
Cameron
Point,
Park.
All that area. Yeah. They're not coming into the club in here because it's too much of a fuck around. There's nothing else on.
Like, and getting back to wherever they live is like a you know, an issue when they want to go out and drink and have a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it has so much potential. And I told that to the guys. So.
And such a good room for it too. Holy fuck.
Like, tell you what he said to me. Like, yeah, low ceilings. They have the LED lighting around, which gives the vibe for the night.
Maddie helped set up the lights.
Yeah, the lights looked amazing.
Sick,
yeah. Yeah, it looked like a
sounds
very professional
good.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just needed a few more numbers in the crowd, but that is a fixable
not your problem
thing. Yeah. It's not my problem, That's also the stance I took. I was like, I just want enough people so that we can have a good time on stage, which we did. I think we all enjoyed ourselves up there.
Yeah,
I had fun.
Yeah, you had fun?
Yeah.
Sick. Me too.
Yeah. As opposed to last night.
Oh, yeah, you bombed last night.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, I bombed last night. Bit
what
of a
happened?
Was it in the right headspace for it?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like a last-minute call-up. I mean, I got... He told me 10 a.m. It wasn't like it was like last-minute. Oh, I was leaving work. He's like, hey,
it's like
10
minutes before the set.
Yeah, no, I had like 8 hours notice. But I was just like
for
working.
You, 8 hours is not enough. No, I'm joking. I'm fucking with you.
I was just like, it was a big day at work. So it was like one of those, yeah, all right, sweet. Getting from work mode into comedy mode can be a little bit hard.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
I was training people all day.
Yeah.
So I'm like in the professional mode of, like teaching people.
Do you have like a system though? Do you have a thing to switch your brain off from one mode to another?
Fuck no.
No?
I'd be happy if my brain just switched on.
And every day we pray it won't. No, I'm joking.
With any luck, I just won't wake up. Little dark. It's all right. It's a joke.
Hey, I implied it. Yeah. You straight out fucking said it.
Yeah, no, that's the autism.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So
yeah,
it didn't go well.
It was a strange crowd. Like obviously my opener worked, but
sorry, I'm under.
Obviously, it was a foregone conclusion. Oh.
It is that bit is it is. It's okay. Never bombed that joke.
Which bit are you talking about?
The like I look like a pedophile joke.
Oh yeah, no, that's
yeah. That usually kills.
It did.
Oh.
And then the rest of the set tanked.
Oh,
yeah. So fuck. It was like, started real high. Fucking.
Sometimes it sucks to start that high too, though, because then I always feel pressure when I start real high because I find my biggest problem with comedy is that I start high and then I keep on trying to chase that high again, which means that I drag the set.
Yeah.
So I start high
15
and
minutes
slower.
Trying to get to the fucking...
Yeah.
We've all seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Well, my sets have been doing that a lot lately. Mm. Like they've been really petering out towards the end. So it's just been like motivation to write more material. So working on this new autism bit, which is coming along. They didn't like it last night, though. They really didn't
Did you do the new line about the tractor?
Was the autism bit just saying that you have autism?
Yeah, really.
Because I might get it. Yeah. I think I understand.
I need to come up with a tagline because it handbrakes the set a little bit, which is fine. That's my style of comedy is like people going, oh,
is
shit.
Not being funny.
Yeah.
Just for a moment to build tension.
Yeah. But, yeah, it just.
Yeah, but by itself it's not. It just builds tension. It doesn't break it. It just builds it.
Yeah, people like they get uncomfortable because there's this fucking culture around not making fun of people with disability or whatever. Autism isn't a disability. It's a superpower. Like it really is. You can fucking, you'll have like perfect recall for World War II events, which is handy in everyday life. I know everything about the Roman Empire.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What year was the Roman? I don't know anything about it, hey. Sorry, I'll speak closer to the mic. What year was the Romanian Empire?
It was like minus 2, well, it was like sort of minus 150 BC to around plus 300, and then things sort of started changing, and then the Roman Empire collapsed. We moved into the Dark Ages. And then
tell me the weirdest fact about the Romanian Empire. Or just a weird fact.
You've put me on the spot now.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like really it's a podcast.
Yeah. I shouldn't have
And that you
it
have
up.
To come up with shit on the spot.
Yeah. I got it's not good podcast material to be honest. It's just like
I'm trying to make you prove your point.
Well, I lied. Let's just go with that.
Yeah,
I just lied.
You think about it daily.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. It's like those memes came out and it's like, oh, men, all they think about is the Roman Empire. It's like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Like, Mitch just doesn't want to admit that it's all the butt stuff.
There's a lot of butt stuff. That was mostly the Greeks.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they fight the Romans though?
Yeah, the Romans beat them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the Romans just fucked with them politically, like caused division. And then,
called them gay.
While the Greeks are fighting amongst themselves, the Romans like rolled in, like, we're taking over.
So he does know. Heaps of facts.
Yeah.
Heaps of facts about the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
I didn't notice any. It was very general.
Yeah. They used to, like, they supported.
I don't know shit about the Roman Empire.
They used to, like, roll in if there was, like, a civil war and, like, side with certain sides.
I just realised I've been calling the Roman Empire the Romanian Empire for, like, the last 5 minutes, too. I think that if that doesn't demonstrate my inability to know history
Aren't
facts.
They
I think.
Gypsies?
Yeah, it's all gypsies.
No, Romania is a completely different fucking country.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Gypsy Empire. Yeah. I don't know. I've just watched Peaky Blinders. That's as far as my knowledge goes.
They invade, steal everyone's wallets. Yeah. That's all they do.
I swear to God, sometimes I start a sentence with my brain and then I just like I let my brain disengage for the rest of the sentence and just whatever comes out comes out.
Yeah.
All the time. I constantly introduce my own friends that I've known for years by the first correct first name and then the incorrect last name. I'm like, how? How?
I've got a problem where people tell me their names and it's like
it's a sieve.
I just don't hear. I don't hear that. Hi.
I hear, I just don't care. That's the problem. Yeah. I did crowd work and I'm like, what's your name? And I'm like, da 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 da. And then I'm like, I've completely forgotten that person's name. I just wanted to tee off on them for being a dick.
It's because the entire time you're asking them your name, you're trying to think of a bit you can do with them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem with crowd work. Mm. Your focus is not on listening to their name and it's not against them or anything. You're just like, you're very focused on, I've got to be witty. I've got to be funny. Yeah. You know, it's a different thing.
Yeah, I'm terrible with them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually, when I do MC work and I talk to people in the audience, when I get off stage, like the act is on, I'll literally get my notes out and write down the fucking names that I spoke to. Because that's the, just so I know, and then I can check it before I go, oh, that was, okay, cool, and go back up. Because I know what I'm like, and I know I'm going to do that. Forget it.
That's
so.
Very clever, yeah. I should do that. Because, I'll do the same. Yeah. Definitely.
I have the biggest issue with people recognising me on the street. And then because the thing is we go to so many comedy shows. We perform at so many events, so many open mics, so many showcases, so many everything, right? And then you'll run into somebody who occasionally comes to comedy.
Mm.
And so they remember in detail
everything
about the event that they went to. And then they'll recognise you in the street and go, you're the comedian. And they'll be like, oh, remember when that person in the crowd did this thing? And I'm like, obviously for that night, it was a big thing for the night. Like it was a funny thing. The entire audience was laughing at that. Oh, that they dropped their drink. Oh my God, it was so hilarious. And you remember when that guy dropped his drink? And I'll be like, I've been to 100 shows. Like in the past, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I do not remember. Like it feels, and I feel really bad about it because it's such a, like it was a big experience for them, you know, going to a comedy show. They don't do it very often, but I do it so fucking, I can't remember shit.
Mm. Yeah.
It all blends together, yeah.
I remember vague recollections. So usually when people go, oh, you're that comedy chick, I'll go, oh, yeah, which show did you come to? Like just trying to check out, figure out where they saw me from or something like that. But quite often it's just a sea of shows and I can,
Yeah.
Well, look at you getting booked on all these shows, Eddie.
I did mention lots of them are open mics, right? I did say that, right? Majority of the spaces. Actually, majority of the people who recognise me have seen me at an open mic. Which is, I'm always like, okay, that's when I'm doing my shit stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah. So... maybe it's more complimentary. But I ran into a chick last night who saw my solo show, my experimental comedy solo show. And then you always had to do the back pedal. You're like, I just want you to know it was a trial show. And she's like, no, it was great. I'm like, no, seriously. Please believe that I'm better than that, you know.
So we had Show Us Your Bits on Wednesday.
We did indeed.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you for doing that, Eddie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You fucking saved the show right at the end.
Yeah, there were some issues.
And
with the
all during.
It was pure chaos. I was like, it's just hilarious that the entire week I was selling it, going like, you might see a butthole. Like, you might see a butthole. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, sure. And then we saw a butthole. I'm like,
I didn't see a butthole.
I didn't see a butthole.
Well, you just weren't looking.
Maybe you were imagining. He's just like, while somebody's on stage, he's down at his phone checking out porn. Like, I saw a butthole. Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. We can't drop their name either.
No.
And that footage will never be released. So you had to be here to see it.
Yeah.
You missed out. If you weren't here, you missed the greatest show on earth. Yeah.
That was a sick act. It was such a good act.
Yeah.
Let me clarify. This was an acrobatic act. Yeah. So people know what it is. Someone didn't just step on stage and show us their butthole. It was actually nowhere near that. But it was a really entertaining act, and there was a dog on stage as well. It was really cool. Yeah,
burlesque, like, striptease sort of thing into lingerie and then, like, a headstand at the end, like a yoga pose.
Yeah, it was sick. Mm. It was really cool.
Yeah.
That was, like, a highlight for me.
Yeah.
That act. Because it was set, so unique and so funny.
And like, Dave's set as well. So
oh,
good.
Yeah, that was great too. Yeah. Are you saying that because Dave's in the audience right now?
No.
Walk out, Dave. I've got some bad shit to say about you. No, I'm joking. I love you.
Legitimately.
It was a great act. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'll give you this praise on the podcast and nowhere else, okay? Yeah. No, it was great. I think my favourite parts of that night were the ones that were unique, the ones that were different.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. That's what I wanted. But not to say that you can't do comedy if you want to come on and do that. I think it's good to have a mix because if it's too much crazy weird out of the thing, then the crowd's going to...
Oh, I disagree. I reckon it should be crazy weird the whole fucking time.
Yeah, I would like that too.
We've got plenty of rooms where you can do stand-up. Do one that's experimental comedy. Yeah. Do it though.
I agree, but like also that's us. Like that's how we would feel about it because we see comedy all the time. You know what I mean? We're just saying that.
Oh, man, I'm going to disagree with you on that because I think there's people out there who, when they come to experimental comedy night, they want to see experimental comedy.
Yeah, they don't
want to
see.
If they want to come to a stand-up night, they can go to a stand-up. There's lots of people who want to see out their stuff.
Mm.
And it was promoted as that experimental
comedy. You say that there's heaps of people that want to, but there wasn't that many tickets sold.
I mean, to be fair, it is a small, like, it is a niche, more niche audience than people who are into stand-up.
Yeah. But I think that they'll be
But
down
it's
for
still,
it.
Like, the environment is out there. Like, it's... because it's not even just people who are interested in experimental comedy. You actually branch out a little bit more to people who are interested in doing something different.
Yeah, doing performance, whatever live-based performance they want to do. That's...
Yeah.
That was the idea for the show, open it up to, like, more niches of different groups that want to do, like, improv or
And I think you had a strong turnout.
Yeah. turned out
it was,
right.
You have to remember it was a Wednesday night.
Yeah, I know.
It's a weeknight.
It's a hard sell.
On the first week that school went back too.
Yeah, true.
So you lost a lot of people just because of that. All shows struggle in the first week of term for school just because everybody goes back and they've got a lot of shit to get sorted.
Yeah.
So there was that.
We did well, though. Like, the club made money off of it. So
oh,
it's
sick.
Like,
well, then
definitely
you've done your job.
Done the job there. And I think we pretty much broke even after, like, all the costs of...
But I'm assuming, like, for your next show, there won't be any extra costs because you've paid for all the stuff that you needed to for the first one.
Just advertising. Ethan lost money on his eggs.
Yeah, I didn't bring the eggs. No, that's a wipe because I ate them.
Yeah, okay. You spent the last
what were you
going to
do
eggs?
With the eggs, man?
Make
all right, so I'll explain the egg thing. So you know how we had the accent chatterbox?
I'm aware.
Yeah.
That was my least favourite moment of the show. I'm going to be straight with you.
That was one of
that was my favourite.
That was one of my favourite.
Favourite? Yeah. Jesus, dude, Jesus.
Watch the tape back. It got a lot of laughs. But the joke was supposed to be that... The accent wouldn't actually be performed. The joke
is
that it's so
that.
Crazy that you would even ask a performer to do that. Like, surely they're not going
to
do
it. And then
it.
You did it to the one performer that would
of course
definitely
I did.
Fucking do it.
Of course I did. Because I thought that would be funny. But the joke was to, like, no, instead of, like, saying it, you have to eat these eggs instead and, like, feed him eggs and then just see how many eggs I could get him to eat.
Oh, so this is boiled eggs.
Yeah. Hard-boiled eggs.
What did you think we meant, Eddie?
Like raw eggs?
Oh, I thought they were raw eggs.
Oh, no.
When you, no that's insane. Like, you don't say eggs and assume people mean hard-boiled. There's many different ways to cook eggs, Mitch.
If you're going to force someone to eat them, I would assume that you mean that they'd be cooked.
Yeah,
I'm just going to feed performers raw
eggs.
You
didn't tell me you're going to make them eat them, though. You just said you had eggs. And then you kept on talking about how you forgot your
what
eggs.
What do you do with
and
eggs,
I was like,
Eddie?
What are the fucking eggs for? Are we going to, like, throw them at him while he does an accent? I don't understand.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Egg Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all hard-boiled, but one's raw.
Mm. I don't think the club would like us getting raw egg all over the curtains.
Yeah, might be an issue.
Yeah
maybe. That's all right. One way to find out. Sorry, James.
We'll buy you new curtains
every
time we do the show.
Yeah.
The budget is going to fucking go through the roof.
Yeah. Now we got clips for it as well. It's going to be way easier to advertise and sell and all of that stuff.
Yeah, give people a bit more of an idea of what's going on because I don't feel like my marketing was very clear about what the show
was
about.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is just making sure people understand what it is they're going to.
Yeah.
Because it was even the people who were in the show had no idea what the fucking show was.
Even the people on the desk running the show, i.e. me, you and Mitch, had no fucking idea what was going to happen or what was going on. But that's the fun of it.
I think sometimes when you're doing a new and experimental type of comedy show, like quite often you have to do like one or a couple of them to figure out, this is what works. Okay, this is what the show is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then because you can have an idea in your head, but like... Until you put it under the stage, it's hard to know what's going to work and.
And, like format-wise, like either bring the person up, say what they're doing and then let them start or just like getting that information beforehand and then saying this person's going to do this and then bring them up and they go straight into it. Like there was just little things like that we were just all doing on the fly.
Yeah, and
some
acts
were coming up.
Because you did set up the night at the beginning saying that you were going to talk to every act before they did it, but I think a lot of the acts weren't prepared for that.
Yeah.
So instead of that happening, there were some people who did it and because they listened.
Yeah.
And then there were other people that just like went straight into it as well.
Yeah.
And that also worked. So it was. I think it was just more that you...
And we might be able to just keep doing it that way. It just depends on like what the act wants to do.
Mm.
But just getting that.
Yeah. I have thoughts. I have opinions, but I'm going to give them to you later. So.
Yeah.
About halfway through the show, I sort of just like, all right, I'm not going to bother trying to like run format. I just let you run it. Like I was like, I don't need to introduce the people. I'll just like.
Halfway through the show, and you've already given up on the show.
It wasn't even that. It was just like.
You
do
it, Ethan?
Yeah. Like it was just like, it was clunky when I was trying to do it, and it wasn't really working. So I was like, nah, Ethan's got that side of things. And then I'll just sort of try and do like.
It's just the ability to be really fucking clear about what it is that you're doing and having everybody know what it is.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do the very first time you do something.
Yeah.
It's a struggle because when you're still figuring it out, it's hard to then dispense the information in a very clear format if you're still figuring it. You know what I mean? So, but like, I feel like next time you guys will do way better because you know what it is. Like, you figured out. Yeah, you can see. Have you guys debriefed about it yet or no?
Oh, this is it right now.
Oh, we're debriefing right now. Right, here we go. Here's my. This was shit. No, I'm joking.
Yeah,
but yeah, once you sit down and debrief and be like, okay, well, this worked, we'll stick to that. And then.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
What was your favourite part of the show?
Mine?
Yeah. Last act?
Me performing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Don't ask a performer what their favourite part of them performing was.
After Luke did Art is Dead, you're like, nah, it's about me now.
I really enjoyed finally seeing Luke play because we've spoken a lot before, me and him, because we both come from Tamworth, but we never knew each other.
Both musicians.
And we're both musicians, so we've spoken about that, but we've never seen each other play. Like, he's seen me do musical comedy maybe, but it's not the same because I'm not like trying to be good, you know. Like, I'm more just trying to get the punchlines out, accompanied by music. But and I've never seen him perform either, and I've always wanted to, just because, you know, we share a similar back history of how we got into comedy. So it was good to see him perform. I did enjoy that. I really loved the yoga act. That was sick. I enjoyed the act at the end. I liked the bee thing. The
Adams.
I liked all the ones that were different.
Yeah.
Because
Adam.
Yeah. I will admit, like, with the stand-up routines ones, a lot of those are sets that I've already seen before. And then I'm on the panel and I'm like, I'm not laughing, but it's because I've seen it 15, 20 million times. So I enjoyed the weird ones.
That was supposed to be like a thing of, like, if you're going to do comedy on this, like, do all new. Because it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's better if it's bad. Like, just get up and say whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Sticks and Stones used to do that. Well, it was kind of like that. Like, if you went there and did rehearsed bits, you would fail every time.
I think Sticks and Stones is different, though, because, like, Sticks and Stones is genuinely like an open mic work things out thing. Like, because it's like the entire audience is just comedians, right? This one was a ticketed show. Like, people paid money to come to it. So I feel like you have to be. Like, you know, first one, I get it, but, like, I feel like you guys should, you know, like, develop that clear structure so you know that it's going to land every time because it's a ticketed show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Sticks and Stones has more license to be free-flowing form, and because, like, they even when they're talking to the comedian on stage, like, there'll be people call out from the audience and they'll talk to people in the audience. Like, it's incredibly casual, you know what I mean, and very much open mic format but still... you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's. I think it's different to what you guys are doing entirely. Yeah. I think there are similarities, but I think it's very different.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll get, like, James was saying, just with shows in general, it's like you get, like, 5% better every time.
Oh, yeah.
Next time, like, we'll work on sort of the format side of things, making sure. Like, it ran a little bit long as well. That was... Like,
yeah,
because
I booked too many acts because I was like, I'm afraid that it's not going to go long enough and people aren't going to get their $10 worth, so.
Oh, no.
Instead, people are out until, like, 11 p.m. on a fucking Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I got work tomorrow.
We went on time.
We finished her up right
on time. Because I was planning to go from 7:30 till 9:30, and we started a little bit late. So, we're about running on schedule.
I didn't keep track.
Yeah.
Wasn't my fucking show.
Yeah,
I don't have to keep track.
How did you feel coming in to do the panel, like, not knowing what you're getting into?
Yeah, I feel like it was good that I've participated in Sticks and Stones a few bit because I had a better idea of what you wanted me to do. But I was also low energy that night because, like, I had a croaky voice from a horrendous weekend of drinking.
So
I was worried about, like, my job of being the witty, pithy guest. When I wasn't, like, emotionally there, if that makes sense. But I feel like it still went well.
I think you did great. I think you were a bit, like, at the start, you were a bit like, oh, what the
fuck? I know.
I think we were all a bit like, oh, what the fuck? But then we got into it and it started flowing good. And
I was trying to make notes as we were going through just to, like, jog our memory and have stuff to talk about. And
Watching the film back later wasn't going to be the entire show.
Well, it's just purely just, like, if someone was doing bits or jokes or
in
whatever,
the moment,
I'd like write it down so that I could come back to it later on.
Yeah.
And I came up with like a few a few of my jokes were like ones that I thought up as they were doing the set and then set them at the end. Yeah. And like the first half of the show I was kind of doing all right, and then the second half I kind of bombed a little bit, but that's all right. It's hard when you're just fucking making up jokes on the spot trying to be funny.
Yeah.
It's good practice, though.
But sometimes, here's the thing, like, you guys as the panelists, like, don't get me wrong, like, it's a little bit your job to be the pithy, remarky people a little bit, but it's also your job to be the host. So it's okay to have moments where you're not constantly dropping jokes as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the comedy part is going to come out of the acts and then just responding and reacting to the acts.
Yeah.
I think you guys probably put a little bit too much pressure on yourselves to be like, I have to be saying a joke here and here and here. And because sometimes that means that you just start, you know, when you say everything that comes to your mind just because you're like, I have to say something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is different to like, oh, I've thought of this thing. This would be good to say. Like, which is a very different attitude to come from. Do you know what I mean? I have to participate in your push, or whether you do that from the other side where you're just like, oh, okay, I enjoyed this. This is something I'll say that, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just different energies.
Yeah, that was like the yoga thing. It was really hard to like make jokes at that.
I felt your buttholes pucker. Like, I swear to God, the second that act finished and we had to speak to her and have an interview with her afterwards, I felt you guys just get immediately tense. You're like, don't know, like, so,
well, because
oh my
all
God.
The jokes going through our brains are like highly inappropriate.
Exactly.
So it's like, well, we can't really say much apart from that was great.
Which
we
good restraint, by the way, for not saying
would
that.
Not have,
but I
she
could
would not have reacted
oh, she,
well.
She wouldn't, she, oh, well, she would have called you on your shit. She would have. Yeah. But like, I could instantly feel you guys get incredibly tense. Like, what do we say? It was kind of funny for me.
Oh, I literally, that's what I literally said was like, I'm completely speechless. That was fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't have anything to say that wasn't just like a hack joke, which Adam lent on and fucking made it awkward afterwards.
Went straight for it.
Went straight for a box joke at the end and then got called out on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was like, fuck her.
He was real mad at her.
It was just a joke.
Just throw a tantrum.
Yeah. He opened the door for her and she didn't say thank you and he was like, fuck her.
Oh, my God.
She should have yes-ended that box joke.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Elliot's comedy robot was fucking great too.
Yeah,
yeah, I did enjoy that actually. Yeah. I like not every single one of the lines landed, but it was still like even when the line failed, it was funny.
It was so funny when it failed. Like, it was better
it was that
when
kind
it
of
yeah,
yeah.
that kind of bit.
Because his reaction to it was just like, oh no, laughs not detected. Great line.
That was like a good palate cleanser, I reckon. Elliot was,
good
do you know what I mean?
Just,
it was a unique, so it was something different. It was entertaining to watch, but it was also like very, what's the word? You know, like straight to the point. It wasn't drawn out. It was just like, this is the bit, and I'm just doing robot puns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was immediately evident, okay, this is the act.
We
came up with a good idea. We were walking around in between filming today, and we're like, we should do Elliot's, but with a conspiracy theory robot. It's like, oh no, the frogs are gay.
I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's an idea.
I'm sticking by it. If he's not going to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I've already booked Dave. The next
one.
Yeah.
He's going to do that.
He's going to do it.
All right.
We're going to get him up.
Hell yeah. I think Dave should be on every show.
I agree.
I think your natural stance. I think your natural stance is experimental comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you do like the same thing every time you hop on stage. You know.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Yeah.
You're very entertaining every time you're on stage, and I always know it's going to be something different and unique.
Always
you know.
Chaos, my friend.
And you're always welcome whenever you're up for it. Come back every month if you want.
You're like the perfect act for a show like this, for sure. Yeah. And I enjoyed the connection. He's waving goodbye. Goodbye. He's received his compliments. Now you can fuck off.
He won't turn around. He's back on his side. He's backed out of the room.
He's literally backed out of the room. And he didn't review. He's like...
If
he used
we walked
the door
in,
like it was a curtain.
He'd just be in the corner too. Just
Always performing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or we might have Big Jim for the next one as well.
Oh, He's going to be back in town.
It's going to be amazing.
I am both excited and terrified.
Are we going to do Trans Big Jim? Is that it?
Yeah, whatever he wants.
Can we get
Do Big Jim conspiracy theory? That's the best Big Jim.
Whatever Big Jim wants to do, he can do.
He's like a Pokemon.
I'm incredibly concerned.
Which Big Jim are we going to get?
No one's going to get injured physically.
No.
Mentally, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We walked one lady. That was another thing as well. We did walk someone.
That's good. I'm proud of that.
That's exactly what we're after. Yeah. That means we're doing it right.
Yeah, we're doing...
Are you, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She came back. Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think she was just like, I don't like this. I'm going to leave.
That's fine.
And then she came back. And that's exactly how you should react. Because if she'd have said something, ooh-wee, that would have been way worse. Because we would have had to engage.
Yeah.
Like if someone makes a scene, you'd be like, all right.
Oh, if someone makes a scene, stands up and starts yelling in the middle of a show, it's like, okay, we get it. Yeah, this is clearly fucked.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the joke, is that it's supposed to be clearly fucked.
Yeah,
like that's exactly. the irony of it. But anyway, we'll use an irony to...
yeah. Yeah, that racism was just irony.
Yeah. Justified. We justified it.
Yeah, with that racist joke, I was making the point that racism is bad. Yeah. That's what I was doing.
We were.
That was the point. It was like, oh, it'd be so fucked to like ask someone to do a racial accent on stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you ask the
That's crazy to assume that someone would want to do that.
He had more than one voice too. he had Southeast Asian.
Well, it's Asian. You can do
Chinese. He had Japanese. Yeah. It was everything.
Yeah,
it was a mix
he was
of
just
everything.
Showing how diverse of a performer he is.
Dude, amazing.
It's weird that like it's racist to do accent in and of itself though.
Mm.
Like. I remember I was trying to write a bit on this. Like when I went to Bali when I was really young, like 7 or 8 with my family, everyone over there speaks like broken English. And as a kid, I would speak broken English back to them because they could understand me better if I spoke like they do.
Mm.
So I'm doing like a fucking racist accent, I guess, of like an Indonesian trying to speak English. But maybe that's just because I was a racist 8-year-old. I don't know.
You walk away like, fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. There's like some sort of like empathy there. If you're doing a racist accent and you're saying shit that is fucking racist, I think that's racist.
Yeah.
But I think just like doing an impression is not exactly racist. I don't know. That's where I stand on it. But
it was a joke when I first got to the units in the Air Force. They're like, all right, new guy has to do the Thai order and you've got to do it in their accent so that they understand you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And like, no, seriously. And I was like, I'm not doing that. But then like the next week a new guy turn up and he's just like, oh, number 7. Oh. Leaning into it.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking hell,
oh,
dude.
My God.
They're going to spit in our food. Like, they're going to straight up spit in our food. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Is it easier for them to understand you?
I 100%
that?
Would agree so. Like I think 100%. If an Asian person came here and was speaking like Australian, like doing an Australian accent, I think it'd be way easier to understand than if they were just doing it in their normal voice. So why doesn't that work in reverse?
Surely it does.
Yeah.
But yeah. Apparently you're not allowed to do it. And I get why. It's because when most people do an accent, they're saying stereotypical racist shit while they do it. And you go, okay, well, that's fucking bad. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as for just like leaning into an accent so that people can fucking understand what you're saying, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like...
There's parts of the world where if you don't do the accent and you're just speaking their language but in your own accent, they'll look down on you. Like the French. Perfect example. Like if you do the wrong accent, they're just like, fuck. Nah, this person's speaking like shitty French. We hate them. But the French are pretty racist.
Yeah, of all the people, like the French are kind of the they're cunts
like,
of Europe.
They're like, speak fucking French, cunt.
Yeah.
Get out. And even in the UK, like different parts of the UK, like different accents. Like if you have the wrong type of accent for that area, people will look down on you like you're scum.
Yeah.
Because you don't, like if you're speaking northern, English accent and then you're like in the south of London, they have a different accent. They're just like, oh, this fucking like scouse. accent that Carl's got is like looked down upon as like fucking scummy.
It's because most of them are.
Yeah.
Have you met Kyle? No, like,
yeah.
He lives in a caravan. Like,
does he?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that new development?
In his rich uncle's backyard.
Who are we talking about?
Kyle Legacy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And his uncle's got a guard dog with PTSD.
Kyle has to be... Last time we checked on him, I don't know.
I kind of just thought he lived on the road, to be honest, because he basically does
that. There's a bit of that. Yeah, a lot of that too.
I didn't know that he had a van, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw,
no, he doesn't own it.
Yeah. Oh, now it's all coming together. Yeah. No. All right, cool.
Yeah.
I've been to his place when he was like when he had a house in Sydney. So I think I think of him as like a because I know he left that place obviously because he went back to England and is doing everything. So I just figured he was like couch surfing or like you know living in hotel rooms or something. Yeah. I don't know. Not yeah. I know comedy doesn't pay enough for you to be in a fancy hotel room or something, but, like, I've done sets before where they give you a room to perform at their venue or something, like, for places that have accommodation and stuff. So I just figured he was doing something like that.
Nah, living in a caravan like a gypsy.
All right, there you go.
So the Romanian Empire. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we got to fucking knuckle down, start advertising for the next... Show us your bits, and we're also doing our fucking No Holds Barred as well coming up in November. And then we've got Movember as well.
So Movember is coming up.
Heaps on.
Yeah, we should start pushing that. So we've got the link for that ticket, by the way, now.
Yeah,
so
we have.
Start
I saw
they
put it up like a month ago.
Yeah, they put it up, but without the ticket link.
Yeah, okay, sweet.
And now they've got the ticket link.
Yeah,
so we'll start pushing I've sent them the poster, and so we've got everything set up. We've just got to start pushing it now.
Poster looks great too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
any of you guys doing the crowd work show?
Yeah, I'm doing the crowd work next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to do it, but I feel like I should run the stag. Yeah. It's kind of what I've been put in charge of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to try and get Mitch to do it, because I said I'd do it, but I don't know if I'm on or not. But got to confirm that and maybe swap it. Yeah, should be fun.
Worst comes to worst, I can always just run the stag again.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. I don't mind it. It's okay money.
Yeah. But I need that money. Yeah. Because I have no job.
I need it too.
Yeah, give up the paying job to come do an unpaid job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the life of a comedian, folks.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
That's literally what I did. I'm like, fuck.
I mean, I was very fair last time. I split it with you because... You know, you did most of the work anyway.
Yeah.
It was just me running sound poorly, as is tradition.
I hope this thing's recorded properly.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Did I sit
close enough to the mic?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. I've been keeping an eye on it. I was fucking around with it before, messing with the compression and the gain, you know. Eddie taught me well.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
He's figuring it out.
Yeah.
It's only taken him 4 years. Yeah.
And two podcasts, two separate podcasts.
I think Mitch is one of those people, though, unless he's forced to... No, sorry, this is a good opinion, sorry. He's just like, this is starting to sound like an insult, but it wasn't intentionally started as that. But I just feel in my experience of you tend to just like, you're like me, you kind of need a reason to learn a skill. Otherwise, it's like, why learn it sort of feeling.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So I had to start getting into video editing and stuff because I'll have to do the next No Holds Barred and edit that and all of that stuff. So I've been doing courses at work in between phone calls.
Sweet.
You know, like a free fucking online course place that you can do anything. So I was like, saw that and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Start watching that. So,
nice.
Yeah, he's found his motivation. Oh, a little pud.
A little That's what pud. We want. Well, we've got heaps of shit on and there's a lot of work to do. So,
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing as well. People don't realize how much fucking work. Like, even just putting a show on just normally. Like, same with podcasts. Like, oh, yeah, cool. It's easy. It's like, all right, you try running a podcast for 4 years straight, booking guests every single week, editing.
It's a nightmare. No wonder people quit.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking...
It's a lot of effort.
Yeah, like,
That's why it's got to be a passion project. Like, that's one of the reasons why I haven't started my podcast yet, because I wanted to know that it was going to be sustainable and something that I wanted to do. Otherwise, it was like, I know, I just won't, I'll stop. Because I tried to run a YouTube channel for a small amount of time and then realized that it was a lot of work and I stopped, you know?
Yeah. Like,
what were you doing on your YouTube channel, like music courses?
This was for back when I was doing only music, so before I ever started comedy. But I was like, I was trying to do like a cover and an original every single week, and
that is so much work.
Oh my god, So it started out fine because I already had a backlog of covers and originals I had, but then I was also, you know, running a full time job and stuff. So I found that like a couple of months into it, I was basically taking like my first take of, you know, like my first video and just uploading that because I didn't have time to like run it again until I got it the way I wanted to do it. Or so I just started like, you know, putting up videos that I wasn't happy with for the sake of sticking to this schedule. And it was, set myself a bar too high. What's that? What's the thing? You know, like,
over committed sort of thing. To
it's
like,
not the word, but it's still a good word.
How much you could get out.
Overly ambitious, I think, is what I was. I was overly ambitious. I was like, I can do it, because, you know, I desperately wanted to make music work for me.
Shouldn't have done only music, should have done only fans.
Jesus. You want to talk about my box too? Oh man. No, it was, it just didn't work. It's like the weekly schedule.
Eddie with a tits out on the violin, just like, why aren't people fucking...
I got to be honest, I feel like that would be an incredibly unique channel. So I feel like I could find my market is all I'm saying, okay?
Well, if it all goes to shit, you've always got that.
Yeah. That would be my only last resort. Thank you so much
for
your analysis of my talents.
That's every person's last resort.
What's Eddie good at? She can have her tits out. She's pretty good at that. She hangs well.
Is there such thing as musical porn?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
You invent your own genre.
I feel like there should be, because the music in porn is so fucking shit. I swear to God, the first time I ever tried to watch porn, I was like, I can't watch this. The music is terrible.
The bass is fucking giving me the shits.
I couldn't. The music was I was getting incensed at the music. Like, I was like, I can't be turned on right now. I'm mad about that chord progression, okay? It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
Oh, fucking hell. Although when you do that, if you did start that career in like OnlyFans or whatever, you don't have any other fallback. Like, that's, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's like my cousin. Exactly. She's like a prostitute now. She can't be like, well, if worse comes to worse, I can always...
join the police? You hear about that?
Some people, it's not like a last resort, though. I get some people do it as a last resort, but some people do it as more like an empowering or like a... taking control, or just like they genuinely enjoy it. Like, there's people out there.
Those people do
that.
Well at it.
Yeah.
Whereas like people that are just like, oh, this is what I have to do. It's not great.
It's kind of like me at call center. Like, I'm good at it. Like, I kind of enjoy it because I'm good at it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good at like just like figuring out people's problems. There's one lady called up and it was just pure word jumble. She didn't know what the fuck she meant. And I was just like, oh, yeah, she's clearly autistic. And then just switch my brain into that mode. And I was like, oh, yeah, so you need an account balance. And I was training a lady at the moment. She's like, how the fuck did you figure that out? Like, she spoke for like 2 minutes straight. And then I was like, oh, yeah, so you need an account balance? She's like, yeah. I was like, all right, sweet. This is how much money you've got.
Okay.
And she was actually, how did you do that? I was like, I just read the notes, actually. She always just calls her account balances. But I sounded like the autism whisperer. There was a prostitute who applied for the Northern Territory Police and got rejected, and she's suing them for discrimination now.
Okay.
She believes it was because they rejected her because she was a prostitute.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to prove.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I want to hear her talk, because if she's on there like, yeah, nah, they fucking rejected me because I'm fucking used to be a prostitute, you're like, I don't think so.
I don't think that'll be the case, but that would be very funny.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And some people aren't good at enunciating their points and figuring out, like...
What's enunciating mean?
oh, you know what? It's not the right word. Articulation, like articulating.
Yeah, articulating.
Is the word I
enunciating
used.
Is like.
Enunciating is the. Because, you know, I'm like being. Having articulation. Articulation.
Yeah.
And then enunciating. Like, I associate those two words together. So yeah. I said enunciating instead of articulating.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My brain works in weird ways. Hey.
It's called ADD.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. I know. I'm aware. Yeah. I've been told many times.
I've seen your bedroom.
This is hilarious, actually. He came over to do a promo for one of the Movember shows we were doing. And then at just one point, I was like, okay, Mitch, I just need you to stand there. Don't turn around. I just realized my vibrators are out. I'm just going to go quickly put those away. Yeah. You stay there.
They just run across me like,
don't
oh.
turn. Don't turn you back. To be fair, I probably could have not mentioned it and you wouldn't have even noticed.
It.
You wouldn't notice,
yeah.
But it did occur to me in the middle of a sentence to you, and I was like, oh, this is hilarious. I'm going to point this out.
Like, it would have been even funnier yeah. if I did see them, didn't say anything, and then came straight on the podcast. I went around Eddie. Yeah.
So I saw an interesting thing
out.
At your place the other day. Do you really need 12 inches?
Hang on, I just got to put my dildo away. Goes out and jumps on a forklift.
You'll have to speak up. I'm holding a dildo.
Oh, man. I see no point in putting them away. Like, I barely ever invite people over to my house anymore. I used to when I was, like, when I first moved in.
Yeah.
But now I just enjoy it being my space. So yeah. I just leave them out. It's
you
fine.
Just leave it stuck to the wall.
Hey, I take proper hygienic care of them. I just leave them ready for use. There's nothing wrong with that, okay?
You sleep with your dildos.
Well, essentially, I do. Like, fucking there. Hey, if I have a horny dream, all right, if I want to be able to reach my hand up, grab the vibrator and go to town, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I should have that access.
See, I keep a notebook next to my bedstand in case I come up with comedy ideas. And it keeps the dildo in case she needs to fuck
herself. Arguably, mine's more useful, all right?
Well, it's definitely made more people happy than my notebook has.
That's a sure. Speaking from experience, yes. Oh, man.
That's such a fun.
I think the only time I ever do that is like when my family's coming over. I'm like, just a second. I have to rush in to put some things away. Oh, is that just don't bother?
Yeah. Don't mind me. I'm just looking up the dates for.
Oh, am I boring you with my talk
no,
of my vibrators?
No, not at all.
No, that was very funny. Mine used to be putting the bong away, like if my parents were coming around.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'll fucking hide the bong.
Yeah.
Even though it still reeks like weed in the apartment. It's like,
oh, I wonder what he's been doing in here.
Yeah.
Is it herbal?
Righto. That's basically it. We've done an hour. Let's plug our shows. Ethan, have you got a date for the next?
All the shows to plug.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We've
when's
actually got shows.
Next second week of November on a Wednesday. Second Wednesday.
Second Wednesday. Let me look that up on the thing right now for you. If you can just keep talking.
I thought you were autistic. You could just do it in your head. You know every day of the week, don't you?
No. I don't have that sort of autism, unfortunately. I wish I did.
28th of July, 1947.
Yeah.
It was a Wednesday.
Yeah, that would be the second Wednesday is the 8th of November.
8th of November.
Show us your bits. And on the 18th of November, we've got our second No Holds Barred show. Eddie, when's our Movember show?
Was 24th.
The last, was it the last Saturday?
Yeah, sorry, I remember 24th.
Look at me go.
Let me just double check.
24th of November.
Sure.
Yeah.
24th of November, that's the one?
Yeah, me and Ethan were going to co-host No Holds Barred, but
I'll
Ethan,
be in Canberra.
I booked him for a show and Ethan's like, oh, fuck that.
I fucked up.
It's fine.
I didn't put it in my calendar and then I booked a trip down to Canberra.
What are you doing in Canberra?
Going to watch a band.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Makes me feel, I assumed it was like, oh, maybe he's doing the comedy festival or something.
No.
It would have been. No, no, I'm just going to watch a band.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's still more fun than being on your
been
show.
Bought and paid for. So
it's one less person I have to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't make any money off the last No Holds Barred show because all the money went to acts, which is how it should be, motherfuckers. Mm. Pay your acts. And then
The promoter deserves something as well, though. You did
a lot of work and effort. So it ended up being way more work to edit and put the show together, and Ethan's the only one out of the two of us who can edit. So we ended up having to do like fucking like 15 hours worth of work. So I was
I had to like move, like animate the camera to like follow people on stage when they were moving and stuff.
Yeah, it was you had to sync the sound.
That's a huge
as well.
Amount of effort, man.
Yeah.
You had to sync the sound.
Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah. That's easy enough to do.
But it was like a whole thing where it was like, I've come up with this idea. I'm like, yep, we'll film it. It'll be professional grade. Promise all the comedians. Yeah. And I was like, I have no idea how to do any of that stuff. So can you do that for me? So all of the money just, all the leftover money just went to Ethan to pay him for that. So we ended up working still slave labor wages.
Yeah, I got like $5 an hour. It was sweet.
Yeah. Good. sweet. So check us out on Facebook, Old Mate Bentley on Instagram, Mitch Coyne Comedian. I posted more food the other day. It was good.
You what?
I posted more food the other day on my Instagram.
Oh, very well. That's good for a comedian's page. That's what people want. Really. Yeah.
Pre-gig ramen.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. They've got a new like dry rub on their pork ribs and they've got a new cut that they're doing. And I was sitting there and I was eating it, dude.
Doing a plug for the fucking...
There. I was Menu Makoto. You fucking got to go there. I was sitting there and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is good. Every bite, I was like, like,
fucking hell.
It was incredible. Yeah.
Did it improve your set?
No.
Okay.
Because I was full.
Yeah.
I slow down when I'm full of food.
I was trying to give it relevance. It didn't work.
Well, thanks for coming on, Eddie.
Thanks for having me.
Is it at Eddie Rockefeller Comedian?
At Eddie Rockefeller Comedy.
Comedy.
And Eddie with a Y. And, yeah.
Rockefeller with a...
Rockefeller, how it's actually spelled, but everyone adds an extra R in there. They go Rockerfeller.
Yeah.
So it's just Rock-E-feller.
Yeah.
If that helps.
Like the rich ones.
Yeah. Which I'm not actually affiliated with in any way or capacity.
You should just pretend you are.
Oh, man.
Like my dad owns the world.
No, they probably just like people would want me to pay for shit. It's just, it's actually more in reference to the sitcom 30 Rock than it is actually to the family of the Rockefellers. I was just a huge fan of that show. And it was never supposed to be my performer name, but everyone just kept on. It was supposed to be just like a. My personal profile on Facebook, just being like,
so you can say racist stuff?
No! Jesus, no!
That's what everyone else has.
So the people like you couldn't fucking find me. That's why. but everyone just loved it so much. They kept on responding about how it was such a good name. And is it your performer name? And after a year of that, I was like, fine, it's my performer name now.
Yeah. Giving people what they want.
Yeah.
That's the podcast.
Which is me.
That's the podcast. We're done.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Tell your friends.